look at our inner world. We've been looking at the external world for so long. And what is so special about the external world now? If we look at our inner world, we see that it is far more vast, far more extensive. With respect to our five senses, our taste, hearing, smell, touch, sight, we've been projecting it to the external world. However, in terms of our desires and our conceptuality, in terms of those five senses, our desires have been insatiable. Stop for a while and reflect. What have I done in this world? And what can I do in this world that is meaningful? And what have I done that is not meaningful? For all of these years, all of my efforts and diligence has come to what? Reflect on what are the things that I can take with me? What can I do that will be useful, that will be meaningful, that will accumulate merit? And what are the things that are not meaningful and not useful? We are humans. We have wisdom. We can use our wisdom to consider this. What have I done in my life that is meaningful, that is of merit? What have I done that is not meaningful and is not of merit? It's best that we settle down and really think about this. And by doing this, we can really then decide and go about doing what is really useful. And in this way, our life can be far more luminous. If we don't reflect on those things that we've done in the past, it's very possible that what we do in the future and how we carry on in the future will be even more lost and confused. It is important that we use our wisdom in all that we do. When we are doing things, use wisdom, and as a person, be filled with compassion. As a person, our mind is looking to find happiness. However, we don't know where this happiness truly comes from. What is the standard for attaining happiness? We still don't know. We are lost and confused in this regard in terms of our mind. Hence, it's very important that we use practice to strengthen, to stabilize this mind of ours, and use our wisdom to reflect for this whole life of ours. What have we engaged in? Has it been of merit or not? Has it been meaningful or not meaningful? Has it been of blessing or not of blessing? And if we don't contemplate, then we will find that those few years that we have left are also just going to pass in the same manner. It will be very good if we take some time to reflect and decide, how am I going to really use the rest of this life very well? Already it's a new year. The past year is already past. Reflect on the past year. What did I do that was of value, was meaningful, was beneficial, was meritorious? And then this next year has already arrived. It will also all of a sudden be passing us by. It is good that we have a plan for what we are going to do from now on. This is relevant for our material ambitions as well as our spiritual path ahead. We may have engaged in a lot of merit, however, most of this merit is of the relative truth, not of the ultimate truth. And what do we mean by the ultimate truth? That is everything that we have engaged in terms of our five senses and all of those conceptual thoughts that we have had, and all of those material concerns. And then, what is the ultimate truth? This is this state of mind that is transcending, is over and above the relative truth. This is what we call our inherent nature, the true nature of mind, Buddha nature, great vast wisdom emptiness. Now we are requesting the Great Perfection teachings, and what is our purpose for doing this? First, what we must do is we must understand the ultimate truth. Have I not already given you an example? For example, when the clouds are in the sky, this fifth instruction, when the clouds are in the sky, we are not able to see the the space behind the clouds. However, when these clouds are dispersed, when they disappear, then we are able to see the clear sky. Similarly, when all of these relative appearances disappear, then we will see the open, clear state of mind. And those people who have been meditating will understand this, maybe to a smaller extent, maybe to a larger extent. And this is what we call the ultimate state of mind, or inherent nature, true nature of mind, Buddha nature. However, if we haven't trained in this, if we haven't practiced in this, then there is no way that we are going to generate arising causes with the state of mind. The ultimate state of mind is in reality our Buddha nature. And this state of mind is primordially pure, luminous, and in equanimity. When one day all of these relative concerns come to an end, then we will be able to see this state that is like the clear sky, that is like space. Inherently, we all have Buddha nature. When we practice the ultimate state of mind, recognize our true nature of mind, the merit of this is quite incredible. Some people ask, when I am practicing, I don't seem to have any so-called special effects. None of these appearances arise. In terms of the great perfection, and we are practicing the Trekchor, but the instructions, in reality, none of these appearances are the ultimate Dharma. Because in reality, all of these appearances are just delusions of your own mind. While practicing the great perfection, if we happen to attach to any of these appearances, then we will not be able to attain our state of realization again. For instance, when we are practicing, we might have a stage when we are feeling very joyful, very happy. And then we start thinking, oh, I've had this experience where really there was such bliss, there was happiness, there was joy. However, now I'm just not able to find this bliss again, this state of mind. However, this bliss was just an experience. As soon as we attach to this experience, then we are not able to cut through this experience. We are not able to transcend this experience. The purpose of us practicing the great perfection is to free ourselves from all afflictions and to cut through all states of mind. Then how do we cut through these appearances? How do we cut through these experiences? What is the fifth instruction to do this? Letting go is liberation. Not attaching to these appearances is cutting through them, is transcending them. And this applies for all appearances, appearances of the Yidam, of the deity, of our Vajraguru, of the Dharma protectors. Are all of these appearances not appearances of our own mind? It is an appearance that has come about as a result of our merits. However, although we have this appearance of all of these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas or the Yidams or the deities, however, do they stay before us? This appearance doesn't stay before us all the time? No, it doesn't. These appearances arise and they also disappear. And where do they disappear to? All of these Yidams, deities, Dharma protectors, they all subside back into the true nature of mind. Because the source of all of these appearances is our true nature of mind. And as soon as we have attached to something, or if we are attached to a state of mind, then we are not able to transcend it. And as soon as we have the sense of attachment in that moment, then after that we are always pursuing this same state of mind or the same type of experience. Because as soon as we have attached, we won't let it go. And this is the same in so many aspects of our life and in material concerns as well. As soon as we have really had a very nice experience, we attach to it. We won't forget it. And then afterwards, we put in so much effort to find this experience again. However, this joyful experience is something that is just a momentary experience. The experience is already past, however, the imprint is still left within your mind stream. For instance, if we have a comfy, small room that we stay in, however, one day we go and visit our friend and we stay over at their place, and they have this very big, huge room or flat, and then we think, oh, how wonderful this flat is. One day I'm going to have a big, wonderful flat like this myself. What has happened? We have already planted this seed within our alaya. And then when we go back to our small little flat, although it was comfortable, it just doesn't feel the same anymore. And so we get involved and we then pursue this desire of ours to then, and we're very conscientious so that we can one day also have a nice big flat like our friend had. And so once this desire has been implanted within our mind stream, we won't let it go. And we put in all sorts of efforts to try and achieve it. And we do this for so many things. And so we spend our lives lost and confused pursuing all of these desires. With respect to the great perfection, as soon as we attach or pursue any desire, then what will happen is we won't be able to transcend this state of mind. For instance, we may have had a very good experience in our meditation, maybe 1 year or 2 years before. However, we still haven't forgotten this experience. What does this show us? It shows us that we are attached or have attached to this experience. In reality, this experience is long past. However, we still have attachment to it. In practicing the great perfection, no matter what experience, what appearance arises, whether it is blissful, it is clarity, it is without thought, it is ignorant, we must transcend all of these experiences. And what are the most difficult experiences to transcend, not to attach to, are these experiences that we have when we are meditating, when we have some kind of experience of joy, elation, bliss, or clarity. These create the biggest obstacles to us recognizing the true nature of mind. There are three bardos we may experience in this life. There's the bardo of when we are living, the bardo of the dreams, and the bardo of meditation. And we can say, how can meditation be a bardo? It is because we're in this bardo of meditation. It is not the same as the bardo of the dreams. We are not in dream, and we are not engaging in our normal bardo of this life, all of these afflictions and random thoughts. And so this is the bardo of meditation. We just mentioned, how do we cut through all of these appearances? Don't attach. Don't pay attention to them. Don't be concerned with them. Treat them all as if they are just like a rainbow. Because a rainbow will appear within space, within the sky, and disappear back into the sky. However, if we don't have the experience, the guidance, the pith instructions of our root guru, then it is very difficult to be able to realize this, to revise what we have just spoken about. No matter what arises, what appearances, do not attach to them. And then translators note, unfortunately, at this very essential part of the pith instruction, somebody's scratchy plastic was making so much noise next to the recording, it is unclear what has been said here by Rinpoche, from 28 minutes and 5 seconds until 28 minutes and 23 or 4 seconds, more or less. And I think Rinpoche is basically saying that the problems arise when we are attaching. However, those practicing the great perfection, when in the state of meditative concentration, that any of the senses may arise, whatever sounds they may hear, whatever appearances that might appear, even if they are giving off boundless light, the practitioner won't be attached to any of these and will allow all of the relative appearances subside into the ultimate state of mind. And all the five senses, the sixth level of concepts and thoughts, all of these will be treated as part of the ultimate state of mind.